Welcome, everybody, to the Bakery Bears radio show. My name's Bernard.
And my name's Matilda. Oh, I couldn't remember.
And if you have no idea what we're talking about, I suggest you go and listen to our last episode, which was called What's in a Name? From now on this show, I'm Bernie and she's Matty.
Yes.
Would you go with that if you were called Matilda?
Miss Matty.
Is that what her name was? Miss Matty?
Who?
Well, Miss Matty was in Cranford, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Miss Matty was in Cranford.
And was her name Matilda?
Yes.
Right. I didn't know that. And that, of course, is Judy Dench.
Yes. Now, I'd probably go with...
Matilda.
Matilda or Tilly. Tilda's quite sweet as well, isn't it? But that makes me think of the fabric. There's a load of fab... There's a fabric range called Tilda.
There's also a make of rice.
Make of rice?
Yes.
Oh, so there is.
Yes.
But then there's also the actress. Is it Tilda
Swinton?
Swinton's near Rotherham. It's not Swinton.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tilda's... Are you sure it's not Swenson?
No, it's Swinton.
Tilda Swinton?
Yes.
I know Swinton. I'm not sure she'd be pleased to be named after her. It'd
be funny if she married someone called Jeremy Mansfield.
It would, yeah.
Because that's just down...
possible. That's, no, Mansfield's near Nottingham, isn't it? It's not far from Swinton, really, I don't think.
I went there once and I decided I was never going to go back again.
Yeah, I've been there as well.
Mansfield?
Yes.
Why?
Because a boyfriend's brother lived
right.
there. Gosh, honestly.
Isn't it always the case?
I only went to his house, though, and I don't know the town at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we're back for a brand new show. And today, as you will have seen from the title of today's show, it's Surviving Spring, and many will be wondering, what on earth are we on about? Because I bet all of you are so excited that spring is in the air.
Mm.
Well, look, all of us in our lives have to face certain periods that we don't enjoy as much as others. And we've decided this year that instead of coming into spring and summer, two seasons which we despise...
Well, I don't despise spring. I would say I despise summer.
Have you enjoyed the last week's weather?
No, but that's odd.
I'm worried it's going to become not odd.
All right, well, okay.
Look, we really, really don't enjoy warm weather at all. And so spring and summer does tend to be a period which we just don't enjoy, do we?
No, we do not.
You know, we're just getting through it.
We kind of dread it, yeah.
And that's no way to live. Because, you know, like I said just a few moments ago, we all have to face certain things in our life which we don't enjoy as much as others. And the trick is, in those circumstances, is to change the conversation. Instead of focusing on all the bad things, try and find all the good things.
Hmm.
Try and see if the cloud has a silver lining. And that's what we're going to try and do on today's show. We're going to look at the season of spring and the season of summer, and we're going to try and find all the things that we love about it.
Well, I've made a list. It took me about a week to think of sort of five things. But, you know...
Well, in the course of today's show, hopefully we're going to have a plan, a way of making us spring out into spring instead of walk out with dread and fear.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's get out for our lovely walk. Now, the really wonderful thing about what's gone on in the UK in the last sort of two or three weeks is, was it before spring arrived that the weather went nuts? I think it was, wasn't it? Slightly before.
This past winter has been incredibly mild.
Yeah.
We've really not, it's not even really felt like we've had a winter, to be honest.
No. But then...
Yeah, so I think, and so then
it's about 2 weeks ago, I think, isn't it?
No, last week was the crazy week of it feeling like summer. It was sort of 16, 17 degrees, wasn't it?
It was.
Really blazing sun all day long. It literally felt like summer. It was just bizarre.
And I'll be honest, I think both of us thought, this is it.
Yeah, it was a bit scary thinking, you know, oh my word, you know.
We're into it now.
Is this just what, you know, obviously weather is changing globally and... It's just a worry that maybe we are becoming more like continental Europe rather than England.
Yeah.
England that, you know, we know.
Yeah.
I've got my phone in my hand. That's not going to work, is it? I've got my brolly up today, so this is raining. Which...
The other thing that's happened recently, I think it's just this week, is they've raised the temperature of...
Oh, I saw a heat wave. Yeah, that's right.
So it's gone up, I think it's gone up about...
A degree.
Yes.
They've raised it a degree, so it's not officially a heat wave until it reaches... I think it was, like, depends where you are in the country, but I think it was sort of 27, and it was 26 previously. This is degree C we're talking.
You see, I wonder if that's actually a positive thing, though. But, I mean, I know it's not for the temperature, but so many of these things... are actually mental, aren't they? If someone says, oh, we're having a heat wave,
your brain will say,
oh my goodness, isn't it hot? Whereas now, yes, we've mentioned it before on the radio show, that noise in the background is the bane of the world.
It is.
The backpack blower thingy.
Leaf blower.
They look like Ghostbusters.
I mean, what is the point in just blowing leaves around? There is absolutely no point.
Well, also, did you see how many leaves they were blowing?
Not many.
There was about six.
It's crazy. You're just blowing them around. You're not getting rid of them. What is it?
The thing is, though, you blow them, you blow them, don't you? And then the wind blows and they all blow back again.
I know.
Someone please tell me what the purpose is.
You need to gather them up. If you want to get rid of them, you've got to physically pick them up. Turn them into leaf mould, you know, do whatever. But
yeah, you know,
don't just blow them around.
There might be a circumstance where you've got a whole load of leaves.
And you want to blow them into a pile.
Blow them into a pile. Pick them up.
That
do something
sense.
With them. Yes.
But the council people that use them, all they do is they clear the paths. You know, that's their job, isn't it? To make sure the paths are clear. So they just blow them onto somewhere else, you know.
Thankfully, after a couple of weeks, no, a week of really warm weather, it's like we were heard.
Yeah.
Because
it's now cold and rainy.
Yes. It's like 6 degrees.
Yeah.
It's marvellous.
And raining.
Oh my goodness. I was talking to my mum on the phone when it was still quite warm. Last week it must have been.
It must have been warmer with her, was it? Because
yeah, they live
way down south.
A good 450 miles.
Yeah.
South of here, and it's much warmer, yes. And yeah, they're loving it out in the garden, and everything's marvellous. And I just wonder, you know, as well, if it's one of my things that I was going to sort of bring up to talk about. I wonder if, is as we get older, if we will appreciate being warm more. But then I say that, and I just don't believe that we will, because I think you're either into it or you're not into it. And I've never been into it.
No, I've never liked warm weather. I think the crux of the problem, really, is that our houses in this country don't have air conditioning. Because historically, we've never needed it, have we?
No.
It never really that often got so hot that you couldn't retreat into your house, you know, to cool down a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But these days, because the heat, certainly the past few summers, the heat has been very humid heat. It you know, that permeates within your house. And it's just absolutely hellish.
That picks up on a point that I said to you the other day, and I'm not sure where I read this, and it was a year or two ago, but I did read somewhere that the water table had changed.
It's rising.
Yeah,
did you
and that
say?
Would, of course.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Make sense for heat to be more humid.
Yeah.
Because it is like when it's 15, 16 degrees, it doesn't feel like what it felt like when we were kids.
Yeah.
When it was 15, 16 degrees. Because I remember being out in the garden playing when I was a kid. It was boiling hot. And I can remember vividly going inside and it'd be like,
and it felt cool, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Can really cool
because
off.
It was more of a dry heat.
Yeah you needed to be sort of out in it to really
I mean, it's felt very much more tropical the past few summers.
Yeah.
Look, you know, more like Spain, for example, and that really is what makes it intolerable. I think if you've got, you know, especially sleeping, you know, once you get into the realms of not being able to sleep at night, then you're cranky, aren't you? it's just not good. And then there's nowhere you can go to get relief from it.
So look, this is the point. The moment where we have to change the conversation. How can we make it so that actually we're not going to wish the next, how many months away?
Gosh, well, it's half the year, isn't it, I suppose.
Because we don't want to be wishing the next 6 months away, not at our age.
No, absolutely not.
So yes, the moment has come for us to start throwing out some positives. Would you like me to start or would you like to go first?
Well, I've got a list and I remember the first one on my list.
So you better go because you might forget.
So the first thing I wrote down was flora and fauna.
Right.
So by that I mean that, you know, the warmer weather is great for plants and growing things.
Yes.
And obviously the animals, the wildlife.
Hey, you're throwing out more than one here.
Well, flora and fauna is two things
that sort
of go together, don't they?
I'm being stupid.
Yeah.
Because fauna's animals, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh.
Flora is plants flowers and fauna is wildlife.
For a second in my head, I thought that was flowers and trees.
No, it's plants and wildlife,
but,
basically.
I suppose my question to you is, what you've just said is like a positive for the world, but do you enjoy it?
Not currently, but I think at some point in the future it will be when we get a garden where we can actually garden.
Right.
It will be. So it's a future positive for me. So I'm trying to think of it in that way, that it will be a positive. When the weather's good, you've got more, like your mum being in the garden.
Yes. Yeah, so I suppose that's a positive for about 5 years' time.
Well, hopefully a bit less than that, but you're
exactly right. I like your thinking.
And obviously animals, they nest in the spring, don't they?
Yes.
And produce all the little baby animals, and when the weather's kind and mild, then that's good for them.
So in the short term, it's not really a positive for you.
In the slightly longer term, a positive.
Hopefully it will be a positive for you.
Yeah.
Sadly though, it's not going to help you get through this summer any more easily.
No.
So let's see if we can find one that will help you get through this summer a little bit more easily, because I think my first positive about this time of year, about today, and I think this is a really good one. I think this is one that you're going to really be able to get on board with.
Okay.
So I think you should...
prepare myself.
You should prepare yourself. And every morning, right? You know, you get up on the morning and it's hot and sunny and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, another day of summer.
Yeah.
I want you to think what I'm about to say to you.
Okay.
And that is this. We're one day closer to autumn.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. One of mine was almost that summer is closer to autumn than winter is.
Yes.
I absolutely get that.
The thing is, though, I know we're like jerking around and I'm being silly, but the funny thing is, it's actually true.
Yeah, well, it is true.
And it's actually a really positive way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, you get up...
Tick off another hot day.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, let's think about this logically. I suppose worst case scenario, are we looking at mid-September for when things...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes September can also be very, very warm, but with a bit of luck and a fingers crossed, by sort of mid-September you're usually okay.
Yeah. Well, I think I've given a good one there.
Very good.
You know, when we're feeling at our lowest, that's what we need to say to each other. We should maybe like print it up on the wall.
Yeah.
Another one from you.
Well, another one from me, and this is a personal thing.
Oh, good.
Is that you can hang your washing outside.
Yes. That is a real positive.
It's a real positive. You know, during the winter and the colder months, I have to use a tumble dryer and I wash every day. I do a load of washing every single day.
Yeah.
So to not have to use the tumble dryer and save that energy for starters, because energy prices have recently skyrocketed for everyone.
Yeah.
And they are huge. I've never known an increase like it.
No.
So we've really all got to be conscious about how much energy we're using.
Yeah.
So not to have to put the dryer on every day is a definite bonus.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy hanging my washing on the line. And I know this is funny actually, because I don't know if this is just a, I don't think it is sort of particular to the UK, but I don't necessarily see people hanging the washing out a lot in the States, for example. I think it is more common to have a tumble dryer,
right,
and just use it all year. I don't see many washing lines in photos of gardens and things.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, you tell us if you hang your washing on the line. But certainly in this country, that's just what we do.
Of course, we don't just have listeners in America, though.
No, that's
across
right.
Across the world.
I'm not...
Tell us what you do.
Yeah, absolutely, across the world. How do you dry your laundry?
Do you have one? Do you have one of those cool things? I used to love going to my grand's. We never had one because we just had a really long line between two trees.
Yeah.
And
we
my
have
gran,
a long line, don't we, in the garden? Well,
yeah,
as long as the garden is, which is not very long.
My gran had one of those things that you pushed up from the bottom and
yes,
like the umbrella
I
jobs.
I don't really like those.
No, I don't really, now I wouldn't like it, but back then as a kid it was like the greatest fun in the world,
yeah,
going out pushing that up, and I actually used to enjoy helping her put the washing on the line.
Yeah, I mean they're very useful in small spaces, and we technically...
Morning.
We technically could use one of those, but I just find them a bit of an eyesore in the garden. I prefer a line, really, but, you know, that's a personal thing.
And if we'd not had a line, it would have not enabled me to create the greatest thing in the history of my handyman
the clothes
life.
Prop.
The clothes prop.
Yes, I love my clothes prop. Yeah.
I think, was it the day after we
moved in? Maybe. I said to you, right, get the washing line up. And then I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do for a clothes prop?
So off we went to B&Q.
Yeah.
And you were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I got a piece of wood, carved a sort of notch in it at the top, varnished it so that it lasted.
Yeah.
And how many years later?
16
And it's
years.
Still going
yeah,
strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've realised, because, and this, so you've just given another positive, haven't you?
Yeah,
so it's my turn to give a positive.
Yeah.
Another huge positive for the summer is there is one thing that we cannot stand even more than heat, and that's wind.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's true.
It's the only thing
it's
that...
It's terrifying. The wind has
out.
Been terrifying this winter.
Yeah.
That's really been what we've had. We
tiles
haven't really
blown
had,
off roofs.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. We haven't had super cold weather. We've had lots of storms with
yeah,
gales
yeah.
and... Really scary gales, you know?
So another huge positive of this season is we don't...
You don't tend to get storms
no.
in the summer.
Don't get
no.
wind. No.
You get thunderstorms, but not wind.
No.
Yeah.
No, not even...
Not so much.
Do you remember that thunderstorm that we had in the Lake District when
Gosh,
we were on holiday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was absolutely just
yeah.
like... I felt like I was on like
was epic.
A film set from Thor or something.
Yeah, but that's because the weather had been so hot and humid.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
absolutely roasting that
yeah.
holiday.
And it had to release itself, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it did, in mighty fashion. So yes, another great positive of these next 2 months is we're not going to have to worry about the wind. But the whole reason why, you know, that sort of reminded me of that point was one of the problems that we had when the big storm hit last November was one of our roof tiles came off
yeah.
and then the wind kept blowing it and it was like half hanging off.
It didn't fall off,
no.
It just got pushed.
It was
yeah.
half hanging off
yeah.
and I suddenny thought, hold on a minute, the clothes prop
yeah.
with a notch in the top
yeah.
will
yeah.
enable me to reach up to it.
You managed to fix
and
it because
lever
it was right on the apex
yes.
of
yes.
the roof.
Yes, and I
yeah.
did. So that clothes prop, my goodness.
Managed to fix it, yeah.
The best tool I've ever created. Do you have another?
Yeah, my other is sort of, well, it's not really related, but it's sort of similar. And it's that you don't have to have your central heating on.
Yes.
And there's a couple of reasons why I like that. One is that, again, saving energy, electricity, or
yeah.
gas. We've got gas, a gas boiler, but also it's electric, isn't it, that runs it, so it's both.
Yeah.
So saves on energy, but also I actually find that it dries the atmosphere out quite a lot.
Yeah.
If you have your heating on all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't really like that sort of hot feel, you know, that dry feeling.
Yeah.
I much prefer a house that's just naturally at a good temperature, you know, rather than artificially. So yeah, you don't have to have your heating on.
It's funny, isn't it, because there are different types of heat in houses, because you were only just talking the other day about Argus, weren't you?
Yeah.
And about how that is such a different type of heat.
It's a very dry heat from an Arga, I think, isn't it? And we were just talking generally, weren't we, about what cooker we'd have in the future. And
obviously an Arga would never be on the list anyway, because they're a fortune.
They are a fortune, yeah, and you can't buy the traditional coal-fired Argas anymore, obviously. They tend to be electric versions.
Yeah.
But your mum and dad have got an Arga, and I've cooked on it.
It's electric now, is it?
It's electric now, but I cooked on the old one.
Right.
That when we were down a few years ago, they still had that, the original coal one.
Yeah.
I had to replace it, but yeah, I did cook on it, and I just found it suffocating.
Yeah.
I'm not used to it, and I guess you would get used to it, but I'm not sure I want to get used to it. You know, when you lift up the cover, my goodness, that waft of heat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, I did find it suffocating, and I really struggled to cook near it. And I was kind of scared of the heat as well, you know, it is so hot.
It's funny that you mentioned that waft of heat, because I recall when they still had that coal one, there was always a problem when they went away, because getting it relit was always quite difficult.
Yeah.
And for a number of years, they'd get someone to go round.
And keep it going.
Yeah. But you used to have to open something on it,
like
so that it didn't
go out.
So that it didn't overheat.
Oh right.
And I remember that I remember they got home from a holiday one year.
Oh, and Jay had left it open, and the house was like roasting, wasn't it?
My dad put his hand on the door handle.
Yeah.
And he said he could feel the heat.
The heat.
On the front door handle.
Because he'd left the Arga.
You remember it even better than me.
He hadn't closed the inner door of the oven or something.
Yeah.
Because the oven part has an inner door and an outer door, and I think he'd left the inner door open.
Yeah.
So heat had been like leaking out the whole time.
Yeah.
So the whole house was absolutely roasting.
I just remember him telling me that it like took him ages to get up to it because it was so hot.
So hot.
He was like easing his way in.
And that's incredibly dangerous, isn't it?
I know.
You know, you could have easily had a fire because of that. An Arga, I don't think it'll be for me.
I don't know what you're talking about, though, because how would we ever afford an Arga?
Well, you can buy reconditioned ones. I mean, I did look into how much a brand new Arga cost at one point, and you're talking £8,000, £9,000, £10,000, depending on the one, you know, the model and etc. But a reconditioned one, a few thousand probably, you can get them for.
Let's just compare that. We've recently had to buy a new oven.
We bought a new oven, not the hob, just the oven.
Yes, okay. Let's include a hob too. So let's imagine that we had to buy, because I know how much a hob would cost.
Yeah.
So let's imagine that we had to buy a new hob and a new oven, similar to the one we've got now.
Yeah.
It would cost about £900.
Yeah, it's just under £1,000. For a good, that's, you can do it much cheaper than that, but for a good model you can still get them both for under £1,000.
Yeah.
Whereas an Arga, you're talking is 8-9 times that, and of course you've got to have the room for an Arga. They're absolutely mahoosive, you know, they are ginormous.
I bet you most people inherit them in houses that they buy.
Or what I see a lot of people doing is, you know, they've got the Arga, but it's more of an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
They have like a separate oven that they
the Arga's
tend to
not
cook in. Because, I mean, I know they cost an awful lot, I think, to run, because if you don't know, an Arga, the heat is continuous.
Yeah.
They're always on, basically.
Yeah.
So no. As much as I would love a pink Arga.
Because my brother got one, didn't he? But they had to stop using it because it was too expensive.
Too expensive, they don't use it.
Crazy. I suppose, though, that does sort of fit with the sort of aesthetic look of walking into a kitchen and
just looking at the Arga. It's a lot of money just to look at it, though, isn't it? Let's face it.
It's an awful lot of money.
I'm all about practicality, really.
I tell you another huge positive of spring and summer.
Uh-huh.
And that is, oh my goodness, I forget this every year. And then it happens. I get to that point where I need slightly cooler things on my feet. So I go into my drawer and I dig out all my summer socks.
Summer socks.
That is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Obviously in temperature on your feet, but also in the fact that you've just gone through, you know, 6 months of winter with your warm winter socks. And in that time, I've forgotten all about, obviously, I remember that I've got summer socks at the back of my drawer,
yeah,
but I forget what they're, you know, the yarn that they're knitted from. And
these are all hand-knitted socks, yeah, Dan's talking about.
I don't wear anything other than hand-knitted socks.
Apart from when you're running.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy to go into that drawer and, you know, to rotate around the socks. Equally though, it's equally such a joy to do the same thing in the winter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so great to sort of go from... It's so silly, you know, to think about it, that all you're talking about... Which way? Sorry.
I'll get this way.
It's so silly, you know, if you think about it, that all we're talking about is socks. And so many... But this...
Doesn't matter, does it? Little things bring you joy, and it's the little things that matter, I think.
Absolutely they do.
And like, look at that flower bed. Is that not amazing?
What are those? Primulas?
I think they are primulas.
In the middle?
In the middle, yeah.
Or are they all primulas?
They're all primulas,
I think.
Wow,
I can't believe it.
There's some spring bedding. We're in the park now. There's this big bed. Sort of like, you know, the old Victorian beds. It's like that. It's sort of like a snake shaped, isn't it?
Or like a...
Or a musical...
Note. Or a two-handed tadpole.
Yeah, yeah.
And a tadpole with two heads.
I think they're all some kind of primula.
Definitely.
And the centre is like a violet colour, and then there's white, and then there's like a rusty red on
it's gorgeous.
Outside. Beautiful. Can we swap hands? Because my hand's frozen.
There's actually snow in the forecast.
I know, it's crazy.
But great.
Yeah, I'm not good. Yeah, absolutely. Not
yes.
I meant good crazy, obviously.
So, yeah, I think what this does is it really does highlight how unbelievably brilliant it is to have someone in your life, and thankfully for you, that's you, who knits socks for you, or anything for you.
Yeah.
Because what it can do is it can turn... It's the same with hats though, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
how many people just have a generic bought hat,
mm-hmm,
you know, fleecy, I don't know, you know, all those different ones, all those horribly made, rubbish, you know, machine knitted ones,
yeah,
that you know you buy from any other shop. And actually, you know, to have a range of hand knitted hats, but even more so to have a range, I mean, how many hand knitted socks must I have?
You've got quite a lot. I mean, I do need to assess the shorty socks situation just to see how many you've actually got, because I've got one pair on the go for you at the minute, which I've not far off finished, but they're a winter pair, and then I need to start on summer socks, I think, which is good because they don't take as long.
How cool is this? I'm so lucky.
I know. Well, the problem is because you wear them all the time, I need to keep a fresh supply going really all the time, because they do wear through.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because you don't really wear hand-knitted socks.
I don't tend to wear them anymore, no. But
you used to.
I used to, but the problem is I walk a lot now, and
every day
I find that the sort of supportive sports socks are what my feet need,
yeah,
and I've got arch supports,
yeah,
in my shoes,
yeah,
as well. So I just need that extra bit of support the sport socks give me.
Yeah.
And then when I'm in the house, I tend to wear slippers again because I need more support.
Yeah.
If I just walk around in socks all day,
yeah,
on hard floors,
yeah,
my arch really hurts.
You'd also slip over.
Well, there's a chance of that. But, you know, I do wear them as bed socks, and Brian, he wears them every single day,
well,
so it's not a problem.
There is the...
And I just love knitting them.
There is the solution, isn't it, to the whole... Because, you know, the fact... I mean, how unbelievable is it that we've got a 16-year-old daughter who loves hand-knitted socks?
Yeah, she doesn't like normal socks. Normal socks... I say normal socks. To her, hand-knitted socks are normal socks. But, I mean, bought socks, because they're just too tight on her feet. She's just not used to it now, and I do find that board socks shrink terribly. And, you know, you wash them and they look like they're the size for babies.
Yeah.
They're absolutely minute.
Also, as well, the toes. On every pair of board socks I've ever owned, the toe stitching always rubs.
It's quite often a seam, isn't there?
Why can't they do toes?
Well, you know, they're machine knitted and then the toes are grafted, but not grafted in the way that we would graft them when we make socks.
It's just so simple and easy, isn't it? You know, they're doing it in the most root one.
Well, it's all
out.
Done by a machine, it'll be, won't it? Oh, and that's
rubbish.
Why. Yeah.
So being able to dig out my summer socks is a massive positive.
Yeah.
All that said, I've loved the fact that this morning and for the foreseeable future, I've had to get out my winter ones again.
Yes.
Now, there was other things on your list,
yeah,
wasn't
hang
there?
On, let me get my list.
Do you need me to help you get it out of your pocket?
Yes, okay. Ooh. I've got it, right, okay. My last one that I could think of,
yes,
and this is something we've kind of spoke about already, and it is really a future one, but it is the opportunities for gardening. There's a lot more opportunities to get out in the garden, you know, when the weather is fine.
Yeah.
And this, like I said, this isn't a positive for right now. We do have a garden, but it's tiny.
Yeah.
And it's north facing.
Yeah.
The only bit that gets sun is right at the top, and that's only a little strip. And we have grown things over the years. We have tried a few veg and things like that, and flowers, but ultimately everything just dies.
Yeah.
And there are still some plants in there that have sort of fought their way through and survived, but it's just not fun for me. Plus, we're surrounded by neighbours, literally all the way around.
Yeah.
It's noisy in the summer, it's very
horrible.
Noisy. And it's just not somewhere I want to be at the moment. But we will in the future when we get a better house.
And this does pick up on another point that we sort of spoke about earlier on, and that is, I do wonder if there is an element of our dislike of summer that is associated with currently where we live.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got to think that, you know, hopefully at some point we can get into an environment where
it's just a bit more peaceful in the summer.
We can go out into the back garden and not feel, well, and not be overlooked from about 15 different sides.
Yeah, and it's just the noise for me, you know. We live in a townhouse, so it's effectively like a terraced house. So you've got neighbours either side, and then there's neighbours at the back. And there's a lot of children. And, of course, children play out in the garden, and that's, you know, that's what children do.
So what we've got to do is we've got to think that, I mean, part of me wonders, I think that if you were in a situation where you knew that this particular weather condition was going to bring on your cabbages or
help your
potatoes
absolutely.
Get set, or, you see, the other thing as well is I do wonder if there's an element of, when you get older, I must ask my mum this, because if you're warmer, does that help, like, with joints and
yes,
moving? You see.
Because you do find a lot of people, they retire, don't they, somewhere warm, because
yeah.
it helps arthritis or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you certainly, that's my understanding.
Perhaps there's a huge element of that. I just find it hard to sort of believe in my own head, just because I was talking to my mum, like I mentioned before, the other day, and she was sort of reminiscing about when we were on holiday, and I remember, and then I know we spoke about this, my family used to love going down onto a beach and sunbathing, but I used to hate it,
yeah.
So I used to like hide under an umbrella. I used to pull it down as far as I could, and then my mum reminded me, and I'd forgotten this, that I could sort of deal with it up until about lunchtime, and then I just couldn't hack it anymore, and I used to just go back to the caravan and do drum practice.
Yeah.
And I actually found, I think the last time we were down, I'm sure it was, I can't quite remember, I don't know why I didn't take a picture of it, but I actually found a picture of me when I was about 14, sat in a caravan doing some drum practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The, re-tarmacking the road just that we're crossing. Oh, and I can smell the tar. It's one of my favourite smells. Oh, I love it.
Isn't that funny?
I know, isn't it funny? I just love the smell of it.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I've always loved it.
I think that that's... It's sort of a fascinating thing that the smells...
Yeah.
And the tastes as well that we like. And normally it relates to something. It normally relates to a happy situation.
I think smells to me bring to mind an event, past event, more than like something you will see.
So the question is, what event?
I don't know.
Wet tarmac bringing to mind?
I have no idea. I know that I do remember in the summer when I was little, I was less than 9 because of where we still lived. I used to sit with my brother. We used to just go outside and play, you know. And we used to sit on the edge of the curb. And I think when it was hot, you could smell it rising up, that kind of smell, you know, from the gravel at the edge of the road.
Okay.
So maybe I'm just associating it with being little, I don't know.
And being outside and playing.
Yeah, maybe.
And having a good time.
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, Easter. Because we're a couple of weeks away from
train.
It, are we?
Is it an Azuma? No, it's not an Azuma.
Are we a couple of weeks away from Easter?
Yes.
I think there's more sort of memories for me. An equal amount, at least, for Christmas. As there is Easter.
Yeah.
I don't think I've worded that quite. You know what I mean? Easter.
I know what you mean.
I've got so many. I mean, actually, I think I've probably got more sort of happy, smiley, family, lovely memories about Easter than anything.
Christmas. Because
all of those seem to revolve around. And I'm so glad we did this with our daughter. Around egg hunts.
Yeah.
I just remember like going hunting for eggs and then also painting hard-boiled eggs and then rolling them down a hill. And
yeah.
It's funny because I suppose the other thing as well that I must remember, and I do find it easy to forget, is Easter was such a sort of big part of being a choir boy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was big things going on through the day, and that probably is the reason. And I wonder if that's why my Christmas memories are quite so vivid as well, because I was so fortunate to be in that position where, I mean, it's crazy that you don't realise it at the time. And I think that's the one thing, isn't it, when you're young, that it's so easy to not appreciate the situation that you're in.
I think it's easy to do that whatever age you are.
Yeah. I suppose so, because sometimes things can just happen and you not quite realise that they are happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, though, with regards to the church calendar and being a chorister, Christmas was definitely way better than Easter.
Yeah.
Easter always felt... The music was a bit more serious.
Right.
And it always felt a bit more sombre. I don't know why. It shouldn't do. But it
did.
Well,
part of it is somber, isn't it? But then once you get to that point where it's Easter Day, you know, because of what it's actually signifying.
Yeah. I think as well, I seem to recall that the Easter services were always a whole lot longer.
Yeah.
They seem to go on for like...
I think that's why I always...
An hour and a half.
You know, my mum always took us to church when I was young, and... You know, when you're young, just sitting in a church for what feels like 5 hours is not the most exciting thing in the world, is it?
No, not really.
Especially the types of services that we had in the Catholic Church. They're just they are generally very sombre. They're not very happy. They never did imbue me with that sort of joyous feeling, unfortunately.
No, I don't think they're designed to.
No.
Whereas, certainly at Christmas, I mean, I would agree with you, Easter, in the Church of England, it felt similar. But then Christmas was a totally different ballgame,
yeah,
because the
yeah.
services always seemed to be shorter.
Yeah.
And you were always singing these great carols.
Absolutely, yeah. Music is a huge thing, and I do remember a lot of really great hymns that I used to love singing, and it was always the more uplifting ones.
It's funny you mention the smell of tarmac, because tarmac always strangely reminds me a little bit of frankincense.
Does it really?
Yeah.
You see, I love that smell in a church.
I always used to sort of semi-look forward to, I think it was the dean who used to be swinging.
Swinging the whatever it's called. So,
and they'd come over and they'd bless the congregation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they'd go around and then they'd bless each side of the choir. And so they'd come and swing the thing right in front of you, and you'd get a great big waft of
incense-y sort of smell. Yeah, yeah,
and gosh,
lovely.
I can still smell it now. Just crazy that, you know, it's like you say, it's like, I think that the stronger a smell is, the more it stays in your memory.
Yeah. Gosh, it is chilly though. I kind of wish I'd put gloves on, but that's fine.
Yes. I was surprised you didn't, to be honest.
I know. I don't know what possessed me.
Well, what possessed you is so many people make this mistake. It makes me laugh, you know, when you go out. It happens in the winter, happens in the summer. People don't dress for the actual day. They dress for the season that they're in. You'll see people, as soon as it gets to summer, shorts.
Even if it's chilly.
Even if it's freezing.
Yeah.
I saw a guy this morning out with shorts on, and that's because the weather hit.
The weather was warm last week.
They'll have changed their wardrobes, and that's it now. And, you know, I said to myself, because I really, really don't particularly enjoy wearing shorts, and I've said to myself that I'm going to try and hold off. Have your glasses steamed up?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and hold off as long as possible this year. Because it is hard. Once you've gone into them, it's hard to go back until it gets cold again. Anyway, that's it, folks.
We found a few things there. We did find a few things. Not many.
The only thing I could find from what we've said today that is going to help us get through this spring and this summer is thinking, when it's terrible, it's one day closer.
One day closer.
One day closer to autumn.
I tried to think of more positives, didn't I?
Well, you thought of some great positives, but they were all down the road a little bit. And that's all cool, because that gives you something to strive for. Yeah. What we need, though, is hopefully the weather to stay slightly similar to this for as long as possible. And then we'll be super happy.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got some amazing shows planned. Next time, our show is entitled Fashion Girl.
Fashion Girl.
We shall be discussing what fashions we would like to bring back from the past.
Yes.
We'll also be letting you know any fashion faux pas that we've made over the years.
Yeah.
And Kay's is a bit of a whopper.
Oh, yeah, I've got a good one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all to come on the next episode of The Radio Show. So thank you so much for listening.
Thanks,
this time.
Everyone.
And we'll see you next time.
See
with
you
more.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.
The Bakery Bears Radio Show is brought to you by Bakery Bear Productions and is made possible by our Bakery Bear patrons. Find out how you can join our Bakery Bear community, access more of what we do, and keep the show on air by visiting www.bakerybears.com/listen/.